We're awaiting a Supreme Court ruling any minute now. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We got a tip yesterday on Sunday afternoon that we would get an opinion today, and that is out of character for the court. Normally, they would have told us on Friday if we were getting something today.
So Fox's Shannon Bream says it's widely believed this is the Colorado versus Trump case.
About whether Colorado had the right to try to boot President Trump from the ballot under this theory of the 14th Amendment that he had committed insurrection.
Now, the former president has not been charged with that specific crime over the Capitol riot, but he has two election-related indictments.
Colorado and Maine have both taken action against him. They're both part of Super Tuesday. Then Illinois added to that last week. So it all comes down to this. All the states are waiting for this.
Former Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg is in court this morning in New York to plead guilty a second time.
While Weisselberg, who is 76, is expected to concede that he lied on the witness stand at the former president's recent civil fraud trial, he is not expected to cooperate against him. There's no word on how many or what kind of charges Weisselberg faces. His loyalty to the former president has already cost him his freedom once with a guilty plea in a tax fraud case, testifying against the Trump Organization in spending nearly 100 days jailed at Rikers Island.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. We mentioned Super Tuesday. There are 16 contests tomorrow after North Dakota's Republican caucuses today. Former President Trump could win them all. Senator Tim Scott, who dropped out of the race that endorsed him, tells Fox.
He's going to run the tables. This election will be over tomorrow night. He will be our nominee.
But there was the first Trump loss in Washington, D.C. Nikki Haley won with 63% of the vote. And we're just getting this in from the Supreme Court, a ruling in favor of former President Trump in his appeal of the Colorado ballot disqualification. This means that the Trump name would be on the ballot, as the former president had called the case election interference. America's listening to Fox News.
Living with pain is so difficult, so terrible, that sometimes we often love nothing better than hearing about somebody getting out of it. That's why I want to tell you about Wayne from Kansas and his Relief Factor story. Wayne spent a big part of his younger years playing sports, and as it often happens, it caught up with him eventually. Lower back and foot pain pretty much dominated his life until he decided to give Relief Factor a try. And within just a few days, his back pain was gone. A few days after that, goodbye to foot pain as well. Wayne says he's proof positive that Relief Factor works. Wayne, I'm proof positive, too. When I started taking Relief Factor to help my own pain, I got my life back. Try Relief Factor. If you're living with daily aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, can help you feel and live a better everyday life. To get started, try the Relief Factor 3-Week Quick Start. It's $19.95, comes with a feel-better or your money-back guarantee. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11's Information Desk, I'm Karina Asarte. The 31st annual Midnight at the Oasis said goodbye to Yuma. Many people and sponsors participated at the Sunday Awards brunch at 11 a.m., where they announced the winners whose car earned the top honors. They also named the winner of the 1977 Stingray Corvette, William Negroni. Researchers and web developers with the University of Arizona are launching a new app designed to help local farmers optimize their crops. The web developer team says there are currently about 25 registered users, most of which right here in Yuma. To find out how you can register, visit our website. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner with Deason, Garner, and Hanson, in studio with Adam Hanson, Thomas Sparks, and Cody Beeson. Adam, I heard you had some interesting articles that you've read recently. What's on your mind?
Well, last week I was, perusing the Chicago news circuit, as I often do, to get my news.
Ah, Chicago.
Yeah. In my perusing, I came across an article I thought was pretty interesting. I want to bring it up, Sean, because I know it's going to get you livid. I know it's just going to trigger you.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to bring this up. So apparently in the Chicago Police Department, for the last few years, there has been a policy where you can freely select the gender of your choice that you identify with.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the department treats you as that gender. Well, recently there was a...
Just within the department, not like anybody around them, but just within the department, like officers that work there.
Yeah, if you mean by like the public who has no knowledge of what they're identifying as, yeah.
Okay,
just in the department.
All right.
So anyway, having said that, this officer who previously identified as Caucasian now wants to be identified as African American and I think some other, let's say Middle Eastern, I think it was, if I remember off the top of my head. He was initially hired in 2004 by the department, the Chicago Police Department. And at that time, there were only three nationalities he could pick from: Caucasian, African American, and I think Asian. Because he didn't fall within what he felt at the time, something that was identified. Now, I guess, on the application, when you come into the department, there's like six or seven different types of races you can pick from. He didn't have that option. He only had three. And over the course of time, over all these years, he has been overlooked for promotions, even though he consistently has scored higher on like the captain's exams and things like that. They're constantly picking an African-American diversity higher over him, even though they're not qualified. And in fact, the pleadings say that they are actually horrible for that job and are not qualified. And so now he's suing the department because he wants to identify as African-American and Middle Eastern, not Caucasian like he originally put on his application in 2004, and the department has denied it. They won't allow him to do that.
But if it was a male-female thing, would that be allowed?
Yes, or transgender, or I don't know, you know, all the myriad of things that they got. So that's the current lawsuit, and I'm interested to see where this goes. Illinois is not a favorable jurisdiction, I would say, in the circuit courts for this. I would say that, you know, there are federal laws on the books. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. You know, federally, a big one, where you cannot discriminate based on sex, color, nationality. That was already a law and already recognized by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
In 1964
Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, 1964. And again, reiterated in 1978, I believe. At least in the real estate department. And so what do you think? Should he be able to now change his what he feels like? He identifies more as an African-American rather than a Caucasian. And he feels like he's been discriminated because on his application, he's always been known as a Caucasian since 2004. I think he's got a good argument. I forgot.
I don't even know where to start with this.
In addition, I forgot to tell you. So when he first tried to do this, the department said, well, you need to submit to a DNA test.
Ah.
So he did. And he did like a 23andMe test,
mm-hmm.
which shows a lot of his roots coming from Middle Eastern descent and over that side of the world. But the department refused to use that or to recognize that. And they said, no, you're not going to be an African-American male anymore.
Well,
but you're going to be an African-American female. No, they didn't say that. What do you think? Well, how would you feel? I mean, you've worked for the department. I don't even know what's the math on that? 2004 to now? That's clean math.
20 years.
20 years. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was testing you.
He's getting ready to retire. That's what's up.
Well, he's going to retire, all right, with this money pouring in from the Chicago Police Department. So I mean, I would be upset where you're consistently testing higher. He's more qualified for those that they've been consistently promoting over him,
mm-hmm.
just because of their race, which
I secretly love it. I know I shouldn't.
Why? Elaborate, I suppose. I'm sure you're going somewhere with this. I'm going to give you some slack.
Because I think that it is totally racist to base anything on the basis of race. And I know I'm way out there in left field for this thought pattern, but my understanding of racism is when you make a decision on the person's race or other immutable characteristics. So when we start giving people promotions or giving special treatment based on those immutable characteristics, then I don't see why we ought to be discriminated against from changing those characteristics from male to female and black to white and vice versa. So I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's why I think it's okay.
What do you think, Tom?
I wish it would all go away. I think that it shouldn't. I mean, I get Sean's point that if it's going to happen in one direction, it should happen in both directions. I want to get rid of both directions and just go back to the meritocracy. If you're good, you're good, and you get the job. I think there's this growing desire to have, you can see it in the police force. I think you see it in the military as well. There's a desire for the fighting force or the police force to look like and represent the public, like the demographics-wise. I've never understood the value in that. I think you would want your police force and your military force to be the best they can be. I think it's irrelevant to know what they look like. They just need to be really good.
Or maybe you're a surgeon, right? There's a recent study done by Ben Shapiro where he went and he studied data of equity hires in the current med school universities, and consistently over the course of these last 5 years, let's say, there have been diversity, what would you say? I don't want to say hires, but promoting lesser qualified physicians over more qualified physicians just because of race. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the surgery room and about to go under and then realize, oh, wait a second, you weren't the top of your class? I don't know if you want to, touch my appendix today. You know where my appendix is? I don't want to come out of this without, one of my hands or something.
There's a reason why they make you circle, which leg you're getting operated on, you know?
And they use the marker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't that one? It's your worst fear, you know? Besides being buried alive, that's mine.
Well, this isn't actually a new issue. There's a movie in 1986, came out, it's called Soul Man. It's pretty funny. And it's about this kid, him and his high school buddies, they're going places, they're rich kids, they're, very high performing in scholastics, and they all want to go to Harvard. And so they're applying, and one of his friends gets in, and he doesn't. He gets into the lesser, Boston College. He's like, I don't want to go to Boston College.
Ew.
And, right, So he's like, what can I do? So he's calling the administration office. He's like, there must be some mistake. There's got to be some room for me. And they're like, no. And ultimately he finds out that the only positions available left are for people that are minorities. And so he's like, okay. So he hatches this great plan to, curl his hair and paint his, get a really dark suntan.
It was like pills, right? Wasn't he taking pills that made his skin dark or something?
I think so, yeah.
Like experimental?
Yeah. And he goes in and applies as a minority, as a black person. And he gets admitted, and he's doing fine in college. And he gets arrested, and the NAACP comes in and kind of bails him out. And he's getting a lot of this special treatment. And then it comes out that this girl that's waiting tables, she becomes his girlfriend, and her lifelong dream was to go to Harvard, and there was one spot left, and of course she didn't get it, and it turns out he took her spot. Mm-hmm. And so there was the injustice of it all. So he comes clean and discloses to Harvard that he belongs there. Like, he got in truly on the criteria that they stated. It's just that he altered a bit his skin color and his hair. And, of course, he's looked at as the villain and cast out. And I don't remember how the movie ends. You'll have to watch it.
So is this a comedy or?
It is a comedy. But it predicts what is about to happen in our world, 20, 30 years down the road. And we're now there. And people are now doing this on a regular basis. In fact, there was not too long ago this this scandal that came out from Rachel Dolezal. She was the president of the Washington chapter of the NAACP. And, of course, for those of you that don't know what that is, that's the National Association for Advancement of Colored People. I don't know that they like to be called colored people. I think if I use that word in front of a black individual, they might take offense to it. But that's, anyways, the name of that association, NAACP. And so she was the president and rising to prominence. She was a professor, quote-unquote black professor, and she put herself out there as somebody that was having African ancestry. And her parents, who were both white, came out and said, she's white. She's our daughter, and we're white, and so she's white. She's coloring her skin and her hair, and she's not black. She's a good person, and, all the policies that she's suggesting might be just fine, but she isn't black, whatever that matters. And then everybody hated her for that. So, of course, what does she do? She goes back to teaching school, elementary school, and becomes a fans-only star. And so, that's, I guess.
Paying more than being an elementary school teacher. Yeah.
And that's fans only.
Only fans.
Only fans. Okay. Oh,
only
fans.
Fans. What's that?
It's a porn site that you have to pay for.
Oh my gosh, Sean.
And she's a school teacher, but the schools don't mind. The schools don't mind that her night job is to be a porn star, and that her kids could potentially subscribe to her channel, and that is how she's redeemed herself is going back and teaching elementary kids. This is a person that is deranged, has faked her personality and wormed her way to the top by doing it, and now she's doing porn and teaching kids. So that's the world we live in. That's Rachel Dolezal, although she went by the name of Nkecha Diallo when she was the president of the NAACP.
I think it's interesting, I think there's an inherent understanding that when you go for a diversity, it originally was supposed to be diversity of thought, diversity of life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are what brought value, because you can look at a problem a different way. Your mind, thinks differently based on your life experience. And it's since turned into this superficial diversity if you look this way, you must have lived this life. Therefore, we can, trust that you're going to bring value to the table. And that in and of itself is a stereotypical thought, that if you're black, you must have grown up this way, or if you're white, you must have grown up this way, and that's your life experience, and we've put people in boxes because of what they look like, and it's become the very evil that they wanted to prevent.
Weren't you telling me about some test or study they did recently where individuals were told that they were something?
Oh, yeah.
What was this that you were telling me? I was hardly listening to you.
Yeah, sure. Common trend.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it was important. Yeah. Go ahead and tell us.
He's a husband and father of six. He gets it a lot.
Yeah. I'm just fighting for my life. I'm trying to get my opinion across.
Can you just pass the potatoes?
So there was a study done. I don't know how recent it was. This is recent or not. But essentially, they took a bunch of people and they put them into hair and makeup. The idea was they were going to disfigure their face, like put makeup scars on their faces. And then they were told the people that had the scars on their faces that they were going to go into a job interview, and they wanted just to see how the interview would go. But what they didn't tell the people that they had previously marred their faces is that they were going to wipe off the makeup before they went to the interview. So the people who were going into the interview thought they had scars on their faces. In reality, they didn't. So they do the job interview, and then they get asked, how did you feel you were treated in the interview? And a overwhelming number of them said that I felt like I was being judged. I can't believe they said something. Like, I could tell that they were referencing the scars on my faces. And in reality, there was nothing there. So the study is meant, I think, to shed light on the perception of victimhood, that if you go into a situation believing that people are looking at you a certain way, you are going to read in to other people's behavior towards you and choose to be a victim. And that's, I think we see that a lot in today's world.
So what I hear you to say is this study, the results kind of came out that you manifest what you perceive yourself as.
Correct.
I've heard that before. My wife is she's a trained elementary school teacher. And when she's going through that training, I think it was when she was going at Arizona State, she learned about when you interact with a child, you have to be very careful not to tell them they are something in a negative sense, like you're an idiot, mm-hmm. because then they start to kind of act that way, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know if that's true or not. Again, I probably wasn't listening as much as I should have been.
Yeah, I think that's true. At any time, I've seen other studies like that. Like, they've done studies where they do a study in like an inner city where there's a high favorableness of youth to want to be professional athletes, for example. They'll do a study where they'll tell somebody, people who are prone to athleticism excel in this study before they actually do it. And then they'll take the same control group and they'll say, people who are academically good test takers will excel in this. And the same type of people with the same test scores perform well if they think that they're supposed to perform well. So people who identify themselves as athletes and were told prior to that athletes should do well on this, do well.
That's interesting. That's a cool concept. We got to go to a break. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll be back after this.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Winds will diminish and temperatures will turn a little bit warmer heading towards the middle portion of this week. A little bit cooler on Thursday before some warmer weather from Friday into the upcoming weekend. For this Monday, clear early, then afternoon sun. Some of the wind gusts today out of the west may approach 20 or 25 miles per hour. The high today should hit 73, and then a partly cloudy sky tonight with winds diminishing and a low dropping to 51. A sunny and warmer Tuesday. Tomorrow, expect a high around 76. And on Wednesday, plenty of sun with a high climbing to 77 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr at the Weather Channel.
Prescription opioids can be addictive and dangerous.
We were driving to the supermarket, and as we entered the parking lot, a car ran a stop sign and completely T-boned us. When I was first prescribed my prescription pain meds, there was nobody to tell me these have a really high potential for addiction. How can I be addicted? I get these from my doctor.
Prescription opioids. It only takes a little to lose a lot. Visit cdc.gov/rxawareness.
When life gets overwhelming, but you just don't feel like talking, help is only a text away. Trained and caring crisis specialists are available by text 24/7 to assist with suicidal thoughts, substance use issues, depression, anxiety, and more. You are never alone. When you need help, please text HOPE to 4HOPE. from anywhere in Arizona. Text the word HOPE to 44673. This message is sponsored by Solari Crisis and Human Services.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only, my partner in crime, Sean Garner. No response? Okay. And we've got Tom Sparks. He's our new addition to the office. We'll see if he works out. He's still on thin ice. And then, of course, Cody. Doing what he does best. We were talking last segment about the idea of diversity and how it is having a, in my opinion, negative effect on quality of care, whether that's going to the physician or what other facets of life. Oh, law enforcement, right? Sean, you've got a really big pet peeve that you constantly tell me about. And I just don't see it as big of a pet, you know, as an issue as you do, because I'm American. And of course, Americans have our own systems of weight and measure because that's what we do. And that's how I have always been raised, is to know that, you know, if you tell me something in meters, I'm like, ugh, tell me in American.
Yeah.
Tell me, I need to know miles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, I played football growing up, and so yards is better for me. I can identify with yards, 50 yards. 100 yards, I can, you know, I can throw a football about 300 yards, so I can identify with yards.
Pitch this pigskin over the mountain.
Over the mountain.
Yards is what I like. So don't talk to me in meters.
Yeah.
I've currently, or not currently, but in the last few months, been trying to fly an airplane. And so you go from all sorts of systems of measures. I don't even know what they are anymore.
Knots, right?
Yeah, knots. You got knots. You got miles per hour.
That's a bit outdated.
You got different elevations.
We measured like the speed of a ship
ground
using
level
knots on a rope, and so that's how we should measure airplane travel. Okay. Anyway,
that's what I said.
Okay. Sorry.
My instructor said, "You're an idiot."
Yep.
Anyway, well, I digress. Sean, we recently saw some. This is pretty hilarious. If you have ever listened to the comedian Nate Bargatze. Am I saying that right? That's how I say it. He's really funny, and we like him because he's a clean comedian. You don't get that very much anymore. And so it's really fun to listen to him because he's pretty clean. And
he's funny.
He says things that it's like, oh, yeah, I know. Like,
he's not funny just because he gives you that, the like, ooh, that's kind of off-colored, or that's a little too racist, or that's making fun of handicapped people. He just is funny because the stuff he comes up with is hilarious.
And it's like normal daily living things, you know. It's like, yeah, I can identify with that. And I think that's what's funny about it. That's what comedy is taking something that everybody's thinking and making light of it, that and not being offended. It's just funny. Having said that, he recently hosted Saturday Night Live, and in that particular episode, he did a skit that Sean just loved. He absolutely loved it. And we're going to play that skit for you because it goes to the
ridiculousness of every system of measurements that we use.
And so Nate is supposedly, you're not going to be able to see it when you're listening to us. So
that's why you got to go onto our podcast and watch it.
Yeah. And I'll set the scene. I mean, Nate is actually acting like he's George Washington and he's a founder of the country back when we all began.
And surrounded by his troops at a campfire, and
his comrades
giving them an inspirational speech about what America's about to become.
I hear the British are sending another 5,000 troops.
How will we ever win this war?
By remembering what we fight for.
General Washington.
Sit, please. We need your strength for the fight ahead. We fight for a country of our own, a new nation, where we choose our own laws.
Here, sir.
Choose our own leaders.
Yes, sir.
And choose our own systems of weights and measures.
Weights and measures, sir?
Yes. Yes, I dream of that one day. Our proud nation will measure weights and pounds, and that 2,000 pounds shall be called a ton.
And what will 1,000 pounds be called, sir?
Nothing. Because we will have no word for that.
Seems like we should have a word for 1,000 pounds, sir.
And yet we won't. Because we are free men. And we will be free to measure liquids in liters and milliliters. But not all liquids, only soda, wine, and alcohol.
Only those, sir.
Yes. Because for milk and paint, we will use gallons, pints, and quarts, God willing.
Okay. How many liters are in a gallon, sir?
Nobody knows.
And, sir, in this new country, what plans are there for men of color such as I?
Distance will be measured in inches, feet, yard, and mile. So 12 inches to a foot?
12 feet to a yard.
If it were only so simple. 3 feet to a yard.
And how many yards to a mile?
Nobody knows.
Okay, well, how many feet to a mile?
5,280.
Of course.
It's a simple number that everyone will remember.
Confess, it feels a little complicated, sir. Why not use meters and kilometers?
We will, soldier. But only in certain unpopular sports like track and swimming. For popular sports like football, we will use yards.
Football, sir?
Yes. It's a sport where you throw a ball with your hands.
So in football, there is no kicking?
There's a little kicking. Kick the ball to get points.
How many points, sir?
Sometimes one and sometimes three.
Very confused, sir.
Do not worry. For our new nation, we will have rulers with two sets of numbers. Inches on one side, centimeters on the other.
So we can see where they line up.
Yes, except that they don't line up and they never will. Liberty, son. Liberty.
And the slaves, sir. What of them?
You asked about the temperature.
I did not.
We should have two different unrelated scales of temperature. One of them will make sense to the entire world, and the other will be super random. Our great nation will use the random one.
What is the scale called, sir?
Fahrenheit.
Spell that for me?
Impossible. But one day, if we are brave, we will get rid of the U and a lot of British words like color and armor. But by God, we will keep the British U and the word glamour.
Only glamour, sir?
Only glamour. That is my dream for our countrymen. A melting pot of different measurements. That will make Europeans throw little tantrums. In short, a land of liberty.
Where all men are free. Where all men are free, right?
I think that pretty much sums it up, right? Right, Sean?
He nailed it.
I mean, he nailed it. Like, why?
If you don't watch Nate Bargatze.
Why? We're Americans.
You're un-American if you don't watch Nate Bargatze.
Thank you. I do watch him, though, actually.
Okay. But for those listeners out there, they're questioning their heritage. You may be black, right? You may be Hispanic. If you need a scholarship, you may choose which one you are. But if you're American, you watch Nate Bargatze.
Not in the Chicago Department of Police. But having said that, have you done a DNA test, Sean?
I have.
How'd that work?
Nobody's knocked at the door yet.
That's good. That was my biggest fear, is now my DNA is out there. That's not my biggest fear. I've got worse fears than that. But I have heard stories of DNA tracing. My wife is a big murder podcast gal. That's all she listens to. And I don't think it's healthy mentally, but she doesn't care. Now she knows how to kill me in like 85 ways.
And get away with it.
And get away with it, yeah. Like if we come and broach that subject, you know, like how would you kill a person? Not that we do. but if you were to do it, how would you do it? And she's like, oh, that's easy. Blah, blah, blah. She just like rattles it off. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
So we talked about Weights and Measures, Sean, and your beef with them in the American system. I honestly, I've been thinking about this the last couple weeks. In addition to the Roman Empire, I have been thinking about systems of measure in the American society, and I'm kind of bitter about it. I would have much rather have been on this universal metric system, because now I'm just like behind the curve. I don't know what's going on.
It's a different language.
Because sometimes I can get a ratchet, and I'm like, well, it says metric, but I think it fits pretty good, so I'm going to use it anyway on this standard bolt, you know?
Yeah, until you strip it or get stuck.
But, yeah, so I'm kind of mad at our founders, to be honest.
I think that there was, I forgot what decade, there was a big push. We were almost switched to metric.
It was in the 80s, and it was 80s. Reagan.
Yeah, so I think.
For all the good that he did, that was a major black spot on his.
On his administration.
Is that right? Well, I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Okay, so I think one of the reasons that it happened, though, is if it would have been just the weights and measures, maybe it would have passed. But at the time, there was a huge like globalization push of America needs to join the rest of the world, the global citizen,
yeah,
and the UN. We all need to just have a global society. And that's what he, you know,
pushed back
at,
against. It was
at.
Symbolic.
Yeah. So he's like, well, if it means that we have to keep inches and inches and miles and yards to keep our autonomy
and our identity, like our individual,
right?
You know, yeah, that we're American, we're different. Yeah. Speaking of individuals and different, I've got, you know, you each have six kids. Cody, you have six pugs.
Close enough, yeah.
And so they're all different. They all grow up with their own different personalities. And I've got one that is so accident prone that we're constantly, I mean, currently, his mother is taking him up to Phoenix for rehab for his thumb that he cut so severely that they had to reattach his tendons and nerves. And so he's going there for that. And just yesterday, he devised this plan, and we only know about it because Adam installed a security system at our house that has these high-definition cameras that look into the backyard. And he hitched up the golf cart to our trampoline. And then he started towing it around, and you could see him leaning over to his little 7-year-old brother, like explaining something to him as he's towing this trampoline. And so then he gets out of the golf cart, and he gets onto the trampoline, and then tells his little brother to hit it, and and the trampoline starts ripping around the yard. And he's jumping, and the game is to try to keep up with the trampoline in between jumps. So as he is in the air, he's airborne. The idea is try not to land on the springs as this thing's moving around. And his mom catches it on the screen and runs out there and is like, what the heck are you doing? He's doing this while his arm is casted up on the eve of him going up to Phoenix for some rehab. So that's my child. And our gene pool probably shouldn't be perpetuated too much longer.
Hey, we don't have kids like that.
Darwinism is true. My lineage will be extinct in about
Darwin Awards.
Two more generations.
He should be happy. He's not playing, you know, he's not on a screen. He's outside playing with his brother.
Yeah, there's a trade-off right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, money, yeah. If we ask you money.
Yeah. What do you think about that as far as DNA goes? Like, having six kids, I've noticed that they're all different, and they have different, you know, predispositions, and their personalities are different. Like we talk about, if you want to bring it into like a serious note, like we've got people in the like the law who seem to be re-offenders or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the genetic disposition of, let's say, criminals or anybody else in society?
So I think this is the classic question of
nature versus nurture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or are you the product of your environment, or are you born this way?
Yeah.
Sean has an opinion about that.
You're born that way.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I think it's both. I think you have a natural disposition. Like you mentioned, some of your kids have to do this, that, or the other. But I think the environment plays a role as well. I think those kids, and even us, we all have issues mostly deriving from the way our environment was when we grew up. probably our father. I think it all goes. Personally, I think it's all daddy issues for all of us. And a lot of times when I say that as a kind of like a joke, I kind of mean it too. I think we all have daddy issues in some way or another, and that tends to form us as to who we are. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. But from the observations I've seen in my life, that's what I've come to kind of conclude is that.
So what's a daddy issue for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it on air, but I will. Just kidding. No, I think, why? I mean, you know my dad really well, Sean.
Your dad's an amazing guy.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, it doesn't mean, because you say daddy issues, it's either negative or positive. It could be negative, it could be positive.
Okay, say a positive one.
I think because of my dad's propensity for good and his charitable acts throughout my childhood and me witnessing that, I'm not a naturally inclined person to be charitable or to be service-oriented, but because of him, I have found myself doing that naturally because giving service naturally. If I see somebody needs service, I like to jump in and do that because that's what my dad did. I don't know. There might be a negative thing. I have to think about it, though. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
But well, fortunately, we have to go to break. So,
thank goodness it saved me. Saved by the bell.
We'll be back after this.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Ready to fuel up for your busy day? Fill your tank at a Chevron station, which provides superior gasoline and diesel fuel. And pick up an ice-cold drink, a cup of Java City coffee, and your favorite snacks. Chevron has 20 locations serving Yuma County with fuel and convenience. Stop by and enjoy the best products and customer service. Continue your journey with a pause at one of Chevron's 20 locations here in Yuma. Top off with Techron at your neighborhood Chevron.
This is 560 KBLU, part of the El Dorado Broadcasters Radio Network.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I've got Sean Garner with me, and we've got Tom Sparks, our new addition to the office. We got Cody as well, Cody Beeson. And these last couple segments, we've been talking about different issues, one of which was I brought up this case. I don't remember what it was, where it came out of, but this was years ago. When we went to law school, you have to study certain cases of that have formed criminal law in our society, one of which was a really nasty case about dog violence. And in this case, I want to say, I think they were pit bulls, but they ended up killing a little child, ripping him to shreds at a bus stop one day. And so the question became before the court, like, is this a higher... The owner of those, it was 3 dogs, and they were acting as kind of like a pack mentality at this point. The owner was a breeder of these dogs, and she had notice or knowledge that they were like roaming the neighborhood. They would constantly get out of her yard, and she really didn't care. And the neighbors would tell her about it, and she's like, oh, you know, laugh it off or whatever. And they also had exhibited some really volatile and violent behavior over the course of their, you know, getting out and just like roaming the neighborhood as a pack. They were acting as a pack. Well, one day, these little boys were waiting for the bus at a bus stop, and the bus driver could see in the rearview mirror these dogs just kind of going to town with what he thought was a doll and ended up being a kid. So now the question becomes before the court, is this lady liable for murder?
Absolutely.
You know? And so in that case, the reason I'm bringing this up is because that case...
No, Cody thinks absolutely.
Yeah. Just like if you left a pistol on the counter and the kid picked it up.
Okay.
Same thing.
And I'm not saying this to get into whether it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is what the court had decided in that
and it's still law today in all jurisdictions, is that there are certain breeds of dog that if they even bite once, it's what we call strict liability under the law. And that breed is known to be violent, and because of that, now if it acts out once against somebody, then the law treats that as a mandatory guilt. So that's what strict.
Yeah, there's no more decision as to whether or not there's liability. The only decision is how much liability.
Right. So we call that strict liability. All states have this law. And so one of those breeds is pit bull. And so, Thomas, you were asking the question, does this equate to, like, in the previous segment we were talking about this idea of nature versus nurture? Who knows? Like, we're not psychologists, and I don't even know if a psychologist could tell you that. There's all sorts of theories. But does this work? Does it translate from violent dog breeds to humans? Are some humans naturally come with a propensity to do evil or do bad acts? What do you think?
I think it's the same thing. Like, I think you have some people who are prone to behavior. It could be overcome with nurturing if it's caught early enough, but left on its own and left unchecked, I don't think it would be. And then if it left unchecked long enough, perhaps nurturing couldn't overcome it any longer. I think it could be the same thing with dogs. Like, maybe pit bulls are prone to violence, but if they're nurtured in a loving family and taught not to be violent from when they're puppies, maybe it could be overcome. But who knows?
I have a family member that has a violent breed. In fact, you have to have a license to get there, a foreign breed from a place where I lived for a couple of years in Spain. And they're beautiful dogs. But the legend goes, before I even, you know, was married to my wife and knew of this family member, the legend goes, when I was living over in these islands in Spain, they're called the Canary Islands, there's a breed of dog called the Presa Canaria. And the idea was that, or the legend goes, that when the Spaniards came down from mainland Spain, the Canary Islands are located off the west coast of the Sahara Desert of Africa. And it's just a chain of seven different islands, basically sandbars that have been occupied over the course of our human history. Well, when the Spaniards landed there, there were these tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, indigenous people. And the Spaniards came with cannons and, you know, guns, muskets, and things like that. So they pretty much easily conquered these indigenous people that were on the islands at the time. However, these indigenous people did put up a fight, and they had this specific breed of dog with them, and it did a number on the Spaniards when they're trying to go through this war. So that is the historical, you know, take on it. I don't know how accurate it is, but that is the legend. And so this dog breed still exists there. Well, my family, fast forward, now I'm married and one of my family members has one of these, but they've had it since it was born. And so you go to their house, and when we're having dinner and the kids are around, it's like a big horse. And
what breed is it?
It's called a Presa Canaria.
Oh,
it's like it looks like a pit bull, but this thing is massive, and it's just
a mastiff and a pit bull.
Its head is like a horse. It's just huge, and I'm always a little reluctant about it because I lived in the islands and I experienced those. There's still a lot of native islanders that have these. You know, it's kind of like a sense of pride, and they are meaner than all mean. You know, like you would walk by these yards and they'll come at you and just rah, rah, you know, right at the gate. And so I'm a little apprehensive around them. And even this particular dog, I'm like, I know what it can do. I've seen it. And my kids are like riding it like a horse and like playing around. I mean, when it walks by you, like its tail, it's, I don't know if it's cognizant of its tail, but it's like whipping people. It's like, and it'll move you. And if it wants to go somewhere and it wants to, and you're in its way, it just like pushes you out of the way. It's like bump, you know, and it is heavy and it can do some damage.
Yeah.
So I'm always reluctant about it, but to go to your point, Tom, you know, it has been brought up since it was a little puppy, and it's the sweetest thing now, but I'm always on edge, like around it.
I know that
it can flip. And well, I don't know if it will flip in one second.
But if it did, the damage that it caused would be.
Yeah, you mean we've heard those stories.
Catastrophic,
where
yeah.
Lovely family dog, never did anything, and then all of a sudden was extremely violent, turned on its owner one time.
Yeah, and it can only be for a split second, too. It only takes one split second and the damage is done. For example, we had a dog. It was an Australian cattle dog, and loved this dog. We, you know, brought it up from a puppy. Very, very good with kids. It was always suspicious.
Not me though. He hated
with
me.
You exactly with, so with guys that would come in the backyard, not with ladies, but with guys. And you get that anytime you adopt a dog and a guy comes around and the dog growls, you're like, oh, that dog must have been abused by a guy. But I think most dogs just don't like guys. I don't know what it is. They smell the testosterone. Maybe there's a little competition that's going on here. Or they just have this sixth sense that they know that guys are more prone to violence. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
That's sexist.
Yes, it is.
But probably true.
Yeah. So they would protect my kids like crazy. All the neighborhood kids get along with really well. Never had an issue with biting the kids. My 6-year-old son was playing fetch with it, and it loved to play fetch. I mean, the ball was thrown. Nothing was going to stay in its way of getting that ball. Except this time, my 6-year-old thought it was a great idea to throw the ball and then grab the dog around the neck to try to prevent it from getting the ball. And so instinctively, the dog reared back and bit my son. And he bit him just like a big chomp right in the face, split his eyelid open, split his lip in half. Wow. And so caused a lot of damage. And I mean, that happened in a split second. And so what do? We can't keep a dog around that has that capability. And because there might be other neighborhood kids that grab the dog around the neck when the ball gets thrown. So, you know, we took it to a farm. And this dog we raised right. He was a very good dog. We taught him his manners, you know. We taught him right and wrong and not to discriminate. But he still had that propensity. So, yes, absolutely for certain breeds. But I'll tell you, I worked as a vet tech for 2 years while I went through college. And the pit bulls that were brought in, I found to be very well-mannered. Now, there were exceptions. There were those that people would bring in. You could tell that they were breeding them to be like defense dogs to kind of guard their house, and they were muscular and kind of defensive. All pit bulls have this natural muscularity. You know, they've got this huge jaw and these big shoulder muscles. But as far as being able to predict what they were going to do, they were a very predictable dog, and I think that's what differentiates something that is dangerous to something that's not. Not only is the ability of the animal to create harm, but whether or not you can predict it. Chows, I couldn't predict those. Like one day, like one moment, they would be totally fine, just sitting there, nothing, and I'm petting it, and then wow, just bite my hand. I'm like, what the heck? Where did that come from? Dalmatians are painted as these wonderful dogs that ride around in fire trucks and help save children. Those dogs will bite for no reason whatsoever. And so we get this mentality in our society, and then it gets perpetuated about certain dogs being bad. But I think certain people are attracted to certain types of breeds, and those are bad people. And then the breeds take on just the habits or what they're trained by their owners to do. And unfortunately, I think that's the case with pit bulls.
What about humans? I mean,
yeah, and I think that is the case with humans.
That translates to humanity in the sense of, you mentioned these owners of a particular breed might not be a good mix because these owners are doing things or creating this environment for that particular type of breed that has an inclination to violence, and because of the way they're being trained or taught or not, the negligence of not training them in the right way, that breed might act out in a way that is harmful. Do you think that translates to humanity?
Well,
you
know, let's
to have take children and
a very obvious and contemporaneous look at what's going on right now in the Middle East. Okay, you've got the Palestinians, and there is no lack of evidence for their hatred of the Jewish people. They're just outright hatred for the Jewish people. They're clamoring for the total destruction and annihilation of the Jewish nation. And that is not, they were not born that way. Okay, they were indoctrinated. And that's their parents telling them that Jews are their arch enemies and will be and have been forever and ever. So that's my quick answer to that question.
You, we're running out of time here, but
where I was going with this was our modern prison system. I don't have a lot of experience with it, Sean, but you do. You did like the ministry thing for our church to the prison for a course of years. So you would have to go on Sundays and you would check in, go through the metal detector at the local prison here, and you would have a meeting with a religious meeting where you talk to some of these inmates. In your opinion, is it possible to rehabilitate an individual that has caused harm or done something wrong in our society to the extent that they got caught, were convicted, and now sent to prison? Or is our prison system, and this is a conversation for another day too, but is it lacking in the sense of rehabilitation?
Okay, so that's two questions. One is, can humans be rehabilitated from doing bad things, drug addiction, stealing, raping, murdering, things like that, and learn a correct course of abiding in society so they can be productive members? Absolutely. In fact, there's this wonderful quote that is reiterated by Thomas S. Monson, who is the president of the church that we attend, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he was having a conversation with a warden, and he was doing the same thing that I was doing. He was doing prison ministries. He was going there, and he was teaching inmates. And the warden, as he was leaving one day, says, "What are you doing? You're wasting your time." He goes, "Haven't you learned tigers never change their stripes?" And President Monson replied, "Well, that may be so, but I don't work with tigers. I work with men, and they change every day."
That's pretty awesome.
That's a good quote.
And that's a good way to end it. So I agree with you. I think we can. We have, as humans, we've been talking a lot about canines today, but talking about humans, I think our humanity, we come predisposed with the power to change. No matter what circumstances we come out of, and I think that's the American dream, is we have the ability to be whatever we want, and we have the tools to do that in our system. Of government. And I agree with you, Sean, that humanity is beautiful and we should give people a chance. We got to go. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll be back next week.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Hey, Mark here for Corona Optique with some vision tips for you. It's been said that our eyes are the windows to the soul, and for most of us, it represents our most cherished sense. Our eyes provide the most immediate and lasting impression of our world, but we expose our eyes to danger every day simply by going outside. Here's some simple protective strategies to help you keep your eyes and skin around your eyes healthy. Sunglasses should be worn by old and young alike at all times outside, and be sure they are 100 both UVA and UVB protective. Sunglasses should be large enough to shield the eyes, eyelids, and surrounding skin. Polarized lenses can eliminate glare. And did you know that a hat with at least a 3-inch brim can block as much as half of all UVB rays from your eyes and eyelids? And don't forget sunscreen for both your head and your body before heading out. Corona Optique has a full line of fashion eyewear that not only looks good, but helps protect your eyes too. Call 928-726-1100 or online at coronaoptique.com.
80% of Arizona has no protections for our groundwater. Wells are being sucked dry by foreign governments and corporations from Saudi Arabia to California. They pocket millions pumping our water. Zero restrictions. Arizonans lose their homes, jobs, and businesses. We're being robbed of our water, water that millions of Arizona jobs depend on. We deserve protections that put Arizona first. Learn more about Common Sense Water Solutions at h2oaz.com, paid for by H2OAZ.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU.